Hello, Gallatin Valley. You are listening to KGBM FM 95.9 in Bozeman. This is Body Politic, and I am Siobhan O'Steele. The last several shows, actually since the beginning of my tenure with Body Politic, we've basically been talking about the Slate of Hate, which is a group of bills at the Montana legislature that are pointedly anti-LGBT. And this is yet another in that series. I've talked about other bills specifically previously. Today, we will be talking about Senate Bill 458, which is, I will let my guest tell us what the bill's about. My guest today is S.K. Rossi. S.K. Rossi runs Central House Strategies. It's a policy and advocacy consulting firm, and they spend a lot of time up at the legislature basically lobbying and advocating for or against certain bills. And I'd just like to talk to SK about some of what's going on with House Bill 458. It's a very complicated bill, and so that's why I prefer to have Rossi explain it for us. So welcome, Rossi, to the show.
Thank you.
So I tried to introduce you there, but could you tell us a little more about you and about your work and your history with this kind of advocacy?
Sure. Thanks for having me. SK Rossi, I use they, them pronouns, and I operate a policy and consulting or policy and advocacy consulting firm in Helena, Montana with three very good friends of mine. And we work on really any policy and advocacy or campaign issues that align with our values. So we work on anything from LGBTQ equality and justice to services for people experiencing homelessness in Montana to food banks, making sure food banks have the support they need to operate in Montana. We work on a whole bunch of stuff. LGBTQ plus advocacy is obviously something that's near and dear to me because it affects me personally. It also affects other members of my team and my family and my friend group. I've been working on those issues for the last 13 years now. It's one of the things I worked on when I was the legal and policy director at the Montana Coalition Against Domestic and Sexual Violence. It was a big part of my work when I worked at the ACLU of Montana and the ACLU of Missouri. And since starting this firm, we've really done what we can, where we can, to be helpful to the LGBTQ advocates in the state and moving forward their goals and fighting back against attacks on the LGBTQ plus community here in Montana. So been doing it for a long time. It's a personal issue for me, not only for myself, but for those I love. And that's about it. I live here in Helena with my partner, Kylie, and our two dogs.
Awesome. And, you know, I first became aware of you because I also do a little bit of advocacy when I can. It's not my job. But again, you know, like you said, it affects me. It affects my loved ones. And I try to be there when I can. So I've been around Helena. I've been around you. I've seen your work. I'm a great admirer. I'm really grateful that you're there.
And, the feeling's mutual.
Oh, thank you. We have had a pretty rough couple of sessions. Starting last legislative session in 2020, it was, I mean, they've never been great, but last session, they really rocked us back on our heels. I mean, they came out gunning with so many bills so fast. And it was amazing that we were able to, you know, come together, fight back, and actually have some effect on some of the bills then. But this session, they're coming even harder and faster. And it's really, really, it's challenging me. I imagine it's probably quite a challenge for you. And this bill, 458, to me, in my mind, seems like the worst I've seen yet. And because it seems so complex, it's 60 pages long, and it might affect some 40 plus areas of Montana legal code. And I haven't had a chance to read the whole thing. Could you, because I know that you have, could you outline for the listeners what SB 458 is all about?
Sure. So SB 458, there's what's in the bill, and then there's what the bill's actually about. And I think that those two things need to be separated, and your listeners and everybody else who cares about LGBTQ plus equality or just generally Montana not becoming a place where people are unwelcome should understand both of those things, not only just what's in the bill itself, but what the actual purpose of the bill is. And the bill itself, you know, it creates three definitions in Montana code. One for sex, which is male and female, basically based on reproductive capacity. And then it further defines male in terms of male reproductive capacity, so essentially creating sperm, and female as, again, essentially reproductive capacity in terms of creating eggs. So it's a very narrow, very limiting definition of male and female. And then the definition of sex is the definition of male and female only. It was amended in the Senate once to, the attempt was to include some sort of definition or inclusion of intersex people. But as you've heard from your prior guest, Dr. Lauren Wilson, and multiple other medical experts across the state, none of these definitions are based in good and valid science. So it essentially creates a nonsensical definition of sex in the code. And then it goes through the entire Montana code, and anywhere where the word sex is used, says it basically refers back to those definitions. So there are 41 sections of code that it impacts in the bill. It's everything from insurance coverage to discrimination protections and employment, and again, an insurance coverage, and being on, you know, certain election committees. Like, it just goes through the whole code and says if the word, basically says if the word is used, you know, this is what that word means. This is what that word sex means: male, female, reproductive capacity. So it's a silly bill, and I think that the impacts are quite far-reaching in terms of the details of what's in the bill. You know, there's a section in there that looks like an attempt to repeal marriage equality, for example. There's a section in there that allows for discrimination against people who don't fit that rigid definition of male and female in insurance coverage. There's even a section in there that basically said, like, forces people who run cemeteries to determine the sex according to this definition of the deceased people they are interring in their cemeteries. Like, it's really strange, and it's bad policy. It's poorly written, and it's going to create a bunch of confusion for people, especially the folks who are kind of operating in the sectors that the bill impacts. But I think the more important thing, outside of what the language of the bill actually does, is the purpose of the bill. And that's what I think is the most important part of this. The purpose of the bill is to legally eradicate trans and non-binary and two-spirit people in Montana. It strips trans, non-binary, and two-spirit people out of the code. It makes us legally non-persons. It divests us of our legal rights in all of these contexts and allows for an enormous amount of discrimination in any number of places in the code against trans, non-binary, and two-spirit people without any, you know, penalty or prohibition. So it's just like, I'm not trying to be hyperbolic. It legally makes us non-persons. And that's what the purpose of the bill is. And I think that the sponsor and the supporters of the bill have been very disingenuous about that. They're saying, you know, this is just to simplify things, make sure people understand that biological sex is immutable. This has nothing to do with gender. We can address gender in some other bill, which is laughable, right? Because the entire point for the far right and the people supporting this bill is to ensure that gender is never considered, because they don't want trans and non-binary people to exist. So they are therefore creating a definition of sex in the code that ensures that we do not legally exist, because there is no definition of gender in the Montana code. So that's the attempt, is to essentially legally erase trans and non-binary people from Montana.
So they're attacking our existence, not only on paper, but it seems like they, even wish to erase our identity and our dignity, even in death. It's just been truly horrifying. Now, you mentioned, let's go through one at a time, what the groups that will be affected and how exactly. So we'll start with transgender Montanans. It seems obvious that it will make it impossible for us to get proper identification, which presents a specific challenge of its own. Is there any other ways that you could see this impacting transgender Montanans?
Yeah, I mean, I think all the ways I just listed. So everything that bill does impacts transgender Montanans. It means that if you are identifying yourself or using legal documentation that identifies your sex as not the sex that was assigned to you at birth, you are essentially lying to the state. So it of course impacts us, because if we don't identify ourselves by one of these rigid definitions in the code, we are either essentially committing fraud or lying to the state, or we are forced to misgender ourselves in every single context to avoid any ramifications from not doing that. So yes, absolutely. The whole bill affects transgender Montanans.
Yeah. I guess for me, you know, when, like right now, I'm out on a job search. And if I didn't have the documentation that I have, and I hope to God they don't take it away with this, basically every place I apply for employment, I have to out myself over and over and over again. And it's not just that, you know, say I get pulled over again, my documentation outs me. And it seems like, you know, because we are so, as a population, trans people are so misunderstood and in many circles even hated, our safety is tied up a lot in our ability to be private about our medical history and things like that. So it's really insidious in a way, because here they are, you know, at the same time up on the Capitol with all the other bills in the slate of hate, bringing on these witnesses and saying, you know, all these things about how we're groomers, how we're pedophiles, how mistrusted we need to be, and then making it so that we can't even have any amount of privacy out there and you know, be able to navigate life and not have to be outed over and over and over again. You talked a little bit when you were going through the parts of the bill about how it may affect the right to marriage. Could you explain a little more about that mechanism, how that might shake out?
I mean, I can't, I could try, but that's the confusing thing about the bill is they've inserted this definition in every section of code, including the section of code that's been enjoined by the courts banning marriage equality.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, I can't answer it.
Okay.
So this might be a part that is edited out, because it's an unknown. And I think it's an attempt, and I don't know how that attempt will be perceived by the courts.
It seems like this bill and the other bills, like Senate Bill 99 and the anti-drag bill, and gosh, there's like a what I would call a pro-bullying bill on the slate of hate, and they all seem to be progressing. They all seem to be coordinated as an attack on LGBT Montanans. Have you seen, or I guess what I'm asking is, what ways are these working in conjunction to basically, I don't know, it feels like a punishment to me. I don't know how else to explain it. To punish.
It definitely feels punishing.
Yeah.
To have this number of bills in one legislative session. I mean, I think, you know, there have been some really good analyses out there on the kind of coordinated campaign that exists to curtail and eventually completely eradicate transgender rights and people in the US. I mean, we've seen the rhetoric coming out of CPAC about quote unquote, you know, eradicating, literally the word, eradicating transgenderism. We've seen this particular kind of desire, and I would honestly call obsession. I mean, the people that are running these bills, and honestly, the obsession with trans and non-binary people and our bodies is just like a very strange and uncomfortable and gross thing. And the number of bills that are being run and the people who continue to run them over and over again, that particular obsession feels very uncomfortable to be around. And it is quite obvious. I mean, you know, the legislator who filed SB 99 this year, the bill banning medical care for trans youth, filed the same bill last year, along with the bill banning trans kids from participating in sports. And these are literally the only bills he files and passes. I mean, it's just a really strange and creepy obsession. But regardless, it's all part of a much broader and much longer campaign. And a lot of people think that it's the result of basically anger over the marriage equality decision from the U.S. Supreme Court. I think that that decision from the U.S. Supreme Court saying, you know, basically marriage equality is here to stay. The United States of America will not be a place where two people of the same gender cannot marry each other. Really through the people who are opposed to LGBTQ plus equality, just threw them for an enormous loop. And after they lost that fight, after they lost the fight to demonize and diminish and discriminate against and push same-sex couples or lesbian, gay, and bisexual people out of the public space, they refocused their efforts on the community they continue to attack because it hadn't been included in the way it should have been in the marriage equality fight, and that was the trans community. So they decided, oh, if people are finally going to support lesbian, gay, and bisexual people in marriage equality and having equal rights under the law, because that movement didn't include trans and non-binary people in the way it should, we were still the vulnerable community. We were still the community we were still fighting. And so they said, because these people are the ones still fighting and these people aren't the ones who have received the legal recognition they should, now we're going to go after them. That's the hill we're going to die on. And that has been what has happened ever since marriage equality happened. They have literally planned since that decision, this attack against trans and non-binary people and our rights. And we saw it in 2017 here in Montana, right? Like they filed a bathroom bill here in Montana in 2017. It died in committee because those committee members were like, you know, this seems unnecessary. And then they didn't try anything in 2019. And then as soon as they had a governor who they knew was going to be sympathetic to their goals after Bullock was out of office and our current governor was elected, they saw their path. And so as soon as that happened, they have come at us with everything they have because they know they have a path now because their politics are in control in Montana. So it has been a long, it's not just like 2021. It wasn't just the 2021 session and the 2023 session. They started planning this as soon as marriage equality became a reality across the country. They launched their first volley in 2017, saw that it was not going to go. They took a break in 2019 because we still had a governor who was not aligned with them. And then as soon as that changed, they came at us with what had been already happening all across the country. These surgical bans, these medical care bans, all this stuff started in 2018, 2019. And in Montana, they were just waiting until they had a favorable political environment to do it. And then they did it. And they started last session and they're continuing this session. And I think that they see, you know, that this is their opportunity, especially because of the supermajority that exists in the Montana state legislature right now, the Republican supermajority. It's their best chance to do as much damage to our communities as possible, and they are taking that chance. But the public needs to know, and their voters will know and need to know, that they have been working towards this for almost a decade, and they see this as the culmination of their fight. And the problem with with Montana right now is we are now the experimental ground for complete legal eradication of trans people. And that's what SB 458 is. There have been conversations happening across the country about medical care bans and bathrooms and whatever. And they've been putting out these little test balloons because they know when they just do it piecemeal, it's easier to get through. It's easier for people to digest when it's just this thing or just this thing. And we all knew as trans non-binary people or people who care about trans non-binary people, we all knew that this was the path they were going on. They were going to start with bathrooms, and then they were going to go to locker rooms, and then they were going to go to medical care for kids, and then they're going to go to medical care for adults. And eventually it would just be, you are not allowed to exist. You no longer exist here. And that is what SB 458 is. It is the worst epitome of anti-trans, non-binary, and two-spirit sentiment that could be put into policy. And they're doing it here in Montana because they see their opening. And that's where they've always been headed, with legal eradication of trans and non-binary people.
Yeah. So basically it's vendetta. That's what it really seems like.
I mean, I think it's vendetta, and I think it's ideology. I mean, that's the thing too, is like Alliance Defending Freedom, the biggest anti-LGBT organization in the country. I see them as the circus. Like ADF runs the circus.
Yeah.
And Montana is just one stage where they are basically engineering and puppeteering these bills and moving them through. But they have an ideology that they are pressing.
Yeah.
And it is, I don't know if it's vendetta based or not. I can't speak to that, but they are definitely pushing through an ideology that says trans and non-binary people aren't allowed to exist. We do not want trans and non-binary people living in this country. So we will make sure that it is legally impossible for them to live in this country. And they are doing it all across the country, all across the country. And they have so much money, and they've been campaigning and raising money and moving this stuff forward for years. And
so
that's why we're here.
Yeah. Are they the entity that is responsible for the nationwide coordination of these kind of bills?
There are multiple entities. I would say that Alliance Defending Freedom is the biggest and most moneyed of those entities.
And when I've been up, at the Capitol, it seems like whenever there are proponents for these bills, for these anti-LGBT bills, gosh, 3/4 or more are out-of-state people.
Mm-hmm.
Is that because they're basically being sent in by these giant entities?
I don't know. I mean, the Montana Family Foundation works very closely with Alliance Defending Freedom. They coordinate on these bills. They coordinate the testimony on these bills. They coordinate the lobbying on these bills. And, I think one of the things we're always saying about this stuff is you guys are trying to solve a problem that doesn't exist in Montana. And because the problem doesn't exist in Montana, I think they have a hard time finding proponents for these bills that have any personal experience with the issues that the bills address. So if they want people to speak to that experience, they have to bring them in from out of state because, they're trying to create a problem in Montana that doesn't exist.
From my perspective, I don't think it ever really would, because we are such a tiny minority. And I guess that's why they're picking on us, right? Because we are the smallest part of the LGBT spectrum, and we are the least understood. The general population knows the least about trans people, or are less likely to even know a trans person. And, I can really feel that when I go to Helena. It seems like everybody that I come up against there cannot have ever known a trans person, or they couldn't be saying those things about us in good faith. So so this bill and the others in the Slate of Hate, they seem to be progressing right on through every committee they come up against. It's party line generally. So 458 right now, where does it stand? What's next for 458?
So 458 just passed the Senate. It started in the Senate. So it passed Senate Judiciary, Senate Public Health Committee on a party line vote. Actually, that I think it was party line instead of public health. It came to the floor, the Senate floor, and then was sent to Senate Finance and Claims because their fiscal analysis had been requested and it wasn't ready yet. So they sent it to Senate Finance and Claims, where it came out of that committee with bipartisan opposition, actually, just bipartisan opposition to kill the bill. And then went to the Senate floor, had a very long debate on the Senate floor, and then passed the Senate floor again with bipartisan opposition, and not a small amount of bipartisan opposition, but not enough to overcome the bill. So it will now move on to the House.
And would you chalk that up to the fact that the GOP has a supermajority? I mean, it's just basically, we hardly have a chance, it feels like.
You know, I might be naive, and I'm kind of a perpetually optimistic person about the people being able to find the goodness in themselves to do the right thing, which I think you have to be to lobby on this stuff at the Montana State Legislature. But I would never say we don't have a chance. I mean, we've come really close in a supermajority Republican legislature. It is it speaks to the thoughtfulness and the care and the effort and the ability to just not give up and keep trying of the LGBTQ plus community and our allies in Montana, that we have come so close to stopping some of these bills, sometimes a vote away in a supermajority Republican legislature in Montana. So I want to be clear, especially, that we are not lost here. Like, I don't think that LGBTQ issues as a whole, we are not lost as a community in that legislature. We come very close to stopping this stuff. And if it was very close and the margins were smaller, like we weren't in a supermajority, that would be a feat in and of itself. But the fact that we are coming very close to killing this stuff in a supermajority Republican legislature in a conservative state like Montana is a big deal. And I firmly believe that this session, it's going to be this session or next session or the next one down the line, we won't come close. We will win. We will have the votes to kill these bills. And it's because we keep trying, and it's because we keep fighting, and it's because we keep having really good, educational, thoughtful, heartfelt conversations with Republican legislators and our neighbors and our friends, you know, and everybody else that lives around us and know us. Like, we're gonna win. And we've come really close to winning this session, and that in and of itself is a big deal. So I will never say we don't have a chance. We always have a chance. If we thought we didn't and we gave up, you know, that's it for us. We can't give up. So I wouldn't say we don't have a chance. I'd say we have come very close very many times, and eventually, either this session or next, the tables will turn, and we will stop this stuff.
Oh, you know, that really makes me feel better. Thank you for that perspective, because I've been getting a little disheartened, I'm ashamed to admit.
I think a lot of people have. Honestly, if you're not there all the time, and you're not seeing all that work, I mean, I know that you know all the work that is happening.
Yeah.
But if you're not there and you're not the ones having the conversations and, you know, whatever it may be, it's hard to understand how big a deal it is that we've come so close to stopping those bills here in Montana. But it's true. And it speaks to not only our community's strength and our community's ability to change hearts and minds, but it also speaks to the ability of some of our allies in the Republican Party to keep standing with us. And those people aren't lost either, right? Like, we're not lost. They're not lost. They're just, you know, there are a lot of other factors that go into it, but we have allies on both sides of the aisle there. And the more of them we can get to speak up and stand up against this stuff, the less we're going to have to deal with it in the future. And we just have to keep trying.
Okay. Well, on that note, we've come to the end of the first half of the show. Once again, this is KGBM FM 95.9 in Bozeman. You're listening to Body Politic. I'm Siobhan Osteel, and I'm here with SK Rossi. And will you join us for the second half?
Of course.
Okay.